Rock climbers, yeah, there you go. Rock climbers are those kids, kindergarten to sixth grade, right? What about Thrive Youth in the house? Where are you guys at? Youth group, seventh grade through 12th grade. And then we got some student leaders here, like college age, working with that. So we're all together. Bad news, I didn't bring any candy for you kids or anything. I know. When we get together, try to engage the kids as part of the church family and involve them. So today, however, the Lord has a different plan that doesn't involve candy. So I brought in my opinion a better prop than candy, but I'll introduce you to that later.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about it's kind of a cover your kids' ears. It's not a good word. Uh-oh. We don't like this word. Forgiveness. We're going to talk about forgiveness. So we're going through the book of Matthew, verse by verse. We completed Matthew 18 last week, okay? Now, Matthew 18, you know, it talked about confrontation, conflict, but it also talked about forgiveness. And Jesus gave us this story about an unforgiving servant who was forgiven a debt that could never be paid back. And in turn, did not forgive somebody else for a debt that they owed them that would be payable. And the consequence of that. So God is just really teaching me. He's like, Will, you know, it would be really cruel. It would be really incomplete for you simply to tell people, and I feel like we have done this to each other so much, just forgive, to implore, to argue, to compel, right? To exhort people to forgive. Just forgive because God said forgive. Give them no tools and treat them without gentleness and how difficult it is to forgive. And so we had to park here. So you have to forgive me. We're not moving forward. I want to talk more about this. So let me give you the scripture once again. Matthew 18. And I'm going to start getting a little feedback here. Matthew 18. And I'm going to read part of verse 32. Starting with this. You wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers. And what we learned is the word might better say torturers. Until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And these are words that Jesus said. So the topic in this section of scripture, we're talking about forgiveness. Ephesians 4 says this. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Do you know that? Do you know that's true? Do you know at a base level that God has forgiven you, like that servant from the parable, of a debt you could never pay back? You can never behave well enough to get to heaven. Jesus, God's own son, died because you sin, because you fall short of his glory. It already happened. There is no way that you can pay back this debt. However, God not only forgives you, he blesses you. He treats you with kindness. He gives you his unearned, unmerited favor. And what he asks for us in turn is that we could treat the other people around us who do far less worse, okay, if you will, things, offenses that are not as worse as what we've committed against God. We're to forgive them because God forgave us. Right? And that should be the end of the story. So the truth is, how's that working? How's it working? It's not. It's not. When we take the temperature of the life of a Christian, we look at the symptoms, we go in, we diagnose, we begin to see that unforgiveness is probably, the more you dig into it, unforgiveness becomes such a core problem in all of our lives. And so I want to talk about this today. So another thing I want to model for you, okay? And let me tell you what, to be honest and be transparent with you, like this is a hard thing to talk about because we live life together. And some of you might think I'm an unforgiving person at times. You might, or you might actually think I'm really good at forgiveness when I'm not. And then I may come across as someone who's being fake or lying to you, but there's no other way I can do this but then to be open and honest and open my life up to you. It's what God has asked me to do. And I feel like this is discipleship. We need to be honest with each other. And we need to stop right now and say, okay, now that you've been commanded to forgive, what is forgiveness? What isn't forgiveness? And how are other people doing this so that they have freedom and release from the bondage of unforgiveness? And so let me just say, first of all, for me, I'm not living in complete unforgiveness. I haven't addressed everything that needs to be addressed. And sometimes when an offense happens to me, I don't go right to God as quick as I need to be quick to forgive or to process. I treat the inside of myself unkind sometimes and just put the pressure on myself to just forgive, just release, don't hold offense against people. Okay, did you hear my words? I don't have this down. And praying about this, and praying about it with my wife, Brandy, who God has given me as a great teacher. I believe this. I believe the people in your lives, Rock Climbers is no different from you. I hope you're not married yet. Married in fifth grade is a hard way to start off life. But you do have friends, and you do have siblings, and people around you can see things in you that know you, that live life with you. They can see you in a light that you can't see. And so God has given us each other as teachers. And he's given me this woman as a teacher. And over the last 3 years, God has turned a lot of things in our lives on their heads. And we're learning a lot about forgiveness. And we're almost afraid to get up now because we feel like it's so incomplete in our lives. However, the scripture called for it now, so we're going to do it now. And so even in fear and trembling, we come before you. And I invite Brandy. Would you come on up, baby? And this is my wife, Brandy.
Way better than candy.
See? Way better than candy. And rhymes with candy, which is also pretty clever, you know, so.
Smart.
Just gonna get a microphone here. I have to be far enough away that she can't backhand me, right? For unforgiveness, it still exists amongst us.
She'll scoot it closer, it's okay.
I was gonna sit on her lap, but. So first of all, the reason why I invited you up, Brandy, is because I wanted to talk through this. I mean, first of all, you could testify to everyone here that I don't have forgiveness dialed in and figured out, right? Okay. Right? She's a good mirror to my life. Now, I want to go into the first question, which is this. I think we need to talk about, first of all, what we've learned that forgiveness is not. Okay? Forgiveness is not. So I've written down a couple things and we'll go from there. So first of all, forgiveness is not ignoring the offense. This is common. You're a Christian, just pretend it didn't happen. Secondly, it's not excusing the offense. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Oftentimes I feel like we get stuck in like, well, I still remember the offense, so how can I forgive that? And ultimately, I want to give you a couple scriptures here. I don't know how well you can see them there, but we're pursuing forgiveness because God forgave us. And the way that God does this, it says in Hebrews 10, verse 17, then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. So it's not that he forgets them, it's that he is making a conscious choice not to remember your sin. And then the other verse here is Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. So he just takes those and forgives us and removes those transgressions. I don't know, anything you want to add to that? Okay. Also, forgiveness, another thing. Let me show you the next slide. Forgiveness does not always lead to continued relationship with the offender. I've had these conversations. Someone's been really hurt, like maybe physically. They've been abused. Their life has been in danger. And they refuse to even go towards forgiveness because they think that that means they would have to go back to relationship with that person. That may not always be the case, right? As far as it's up to us, we may live at peace with all other people, the scriptures say, but it's not always up to us. And then another one, the other party does not have to be sorry for you to forgive them. A lot of times we sit there and we wait for them to apologize, and I want to know that they're really sorry for what they did, and then I'll forgive them. That's not the way that God describes this. And then also, forgiveness doesn't mean that you know the other person will not do it again. I think in relationship that happens a lot, right? I've done things to hurt your feelings, and you think, I don't know if I can forgive you because I'm pretty sure you'll do it again. You've done it before, you'll probably do it again, right? And it's probably the truth, the same for you guys, not Wade. Wade's got it all figured out, but the rest of you guys, as Gloria rolls her eyes, he's got his mirror sitting next to him, too, his teacher. Yeah. Because another part of that is a lot of us have been doing forgiveness in a wrong way. And so there's probably even people that are dead, like literally dead to this earth, that you're still holding unforgiveness for. And they at this point, they really can't come back and say sorry. But that happens. What else is forgiveness not? Randy, what do you think?
I'm nervous.
It's all right. You can be nervous.
I guess I just kind of want to share a story. Well, I've read it in several books before and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes you get a wound on your arm. And if you keep picking at it, it's always there. And you always remember it and you know the pain of it. But you know, they relate this to forgiveness. So when Jesus comes in and he heals those places and you can forgive, he starts healing that wound. And so it will heal over, but you have to kind of back away. You have to leave it alone to let him do the healing. But what happens is you still have a scar there. The scar is there. So you remember what had happened. You remember you fell and you hurt yourself or whatever, but it doesn't hurt anymore. And so that's what I like to remember remind myself that a lot of times too, is that you have this because it is a memory, but it's not the same. It's healed.
Yeah. No, it's good. And I think with that type of picture, that type of metaphor, there'd be a lot of days you wouldn't think about that scar, and then you see it again. Oh, that's right. I remember that happened.
It's a reminder too that we've dealt with this. It's good. You know, don't pick at it. You're not going to go there again.
Right.
Healed.
So I think that there's probably more lies about what we think forgiveness is that it isn't. But I think it's hard because you have to make a choice. And sometimes it can be quick, but sometimes it's deep and it takes time. And sometimes people around you maybe wouldn't understand what it takes. Because I mean, I know talking to people, sometimes people need space to forgive. Sometimes people need to talk it out to forgive. Assuming that there's only one way in which to do this is also another lie that we would believe about forgiveness. So what about if that's what forgiveness is not? And I'm asking these questions because I want you to think about this too, because I think we want to be a people who forgive, but really forgive, a people who are free. And so I love it. I love Rachel gets up here and she says, you know, I don't like speaking in front of people. She did a great job. You know, Brandy, I talked to her about this idea and she said, I'm going to pray about it. Like, I don't feel like I'm any expert on forgiveness. And that's why I'm like, no, we're struggling with this. And that's why we're here with you, because I believe we're not alone, that many of you are struggling with that, or many of you are pretending you're not because you have not even come to the point where you want to dig into this. Because the reality is this. Most people will live their entire lives never looking below the surface of what's going on inside of them, why they do the things that they do. They'll find themselves, and what that means is, I'll figure out the things I do and the way that I react, and I will let everyone know. And then if you can put up with it, great, we have a relationship. If you don't, too bad, go away, right? And so we can't stay there. If we feel that, we have to keep pushing deeper. We can't stay there. Have I done that? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Has Brandy done that? Oh yeah. Have you done that? Probably. So that's where these questions, we've got to be digging deeper and better next week than we were this week when it comes to forgiveness. So what is forgiveness? I found this and it spoke to me, so let me share this with you. Forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. That's not warm and fuzzy. Agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin.
Because they may do it again.
Because they may do it again, yeah. Yep. It's a choice. You got to choose. They may never say sorry. They may not know that you're offended. When you dig below the surface, you may find people, like we said, that have gone out of your life that you don't talk to anymore, people who've gone out of this earth that you may not talk to anymore, and forgiveness might still be needed there. Also, forgiveness is granted for your sake. You grant it for your health, for your sake. Forgiveness is the path to life. If you want life, if you want freedom, you got to forgive. If you don't, the only other alternative to forgiving is torment. That's what Matthew 18 says. You don't forgive, you don't release. So the master, the father is like, okay, in your sin, you give the enemy a foothold in your life. He comes in, he's going to torment you. He's going to drive you crazy until you finally deal with what's going on. And then you can get life. Then you can escape torment. Ultimately, forgiveness, what we've learned is, it's about trusting God. What do you think about that? Trusting God and forgiveness.
I think that is huge, that trusting God, because sometimes we don't understand his ways. We don't understand why he does the things that he does. And again, it's not even about us or about the other people around us, but it's really about what God is doing. And sometimes, I'm really nervous.
You're doing fine. You're doing great.
Trusting is just the key, because sometimes we don't even see maybe movement in the other person's life, but we have to know that God is doing something. And so, and part of it for us is our obedience. No, even if nobody else changes and the other party doesn't change or whatever, the circumstances don't change, is our obedience in Christ and listening to him, to walking the steps out, mm-hmm. trusting.
Yeah, thank you. Isaiah 53 says it this way, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, we choose forgiveness because he's leading us into Christ-likeness. And Jesus decided to live with the consequences of our sins. And so we have to do the same. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I know right now I'm just giving you more facts, you know. But these things need to be said. Another thing to tell you. In unforgiveness, we put ourselves in prison. We put ourselves in prison. In torment. When we forgive others, we release them to God. See, we remove ourselves because of our need for justice. Like, we want to be God to people. We want them to see how they've hurt us. We want them to be sorry for how they've hurt us. We want them to change. We want all that. We become God and we get in God's way. And so the minute we forgive, we release someone and we remove ourselves from being in the way of God working in their life. Okay. So here's a question that I have for you. Understand the pathway to this, why I'm inviting her up, is Brandy and I have learned a lot about forgiveness through unforgiveness in our marriage. Brandy and I, we were high school sweethearts. I, in so many ways, was not a man when I became her boyfriend. I was not. I did a lot of things to hurt her. I was passive. We went through college together, you know, pregnancies, miscarriage, and we went through a lot together, and there's a lot of junk that built up. And it became so heavy for us that it was really in between us. This is how God got our attention. Right? He got our attention. And so for us, there's movement in forgiveness. There's not completion in forgiveness yet. I don't know if that's possible, but we're still far from good at this. But we've been given tools, and we've looked back. We've looked under the hood of our lives, and we began to see why there's unforgiveness. And so we want to share the tools that they gave us that maybe would help you. Instead of just running on to chapter 19 and saying, forgive. And then you say, Pastor Will, everyone's been telling me that, and it doesn't work. Well, let's talk about what works. So let me ask you this question.
Can I add one thing to that?
Yeah, yeah.
I think with this, that last slide, but you don't have to go back, it's okay. I think that it's really big too, because when there's unforgiveness, there's a broken communication with God too, and he can't come do that work in your life. And so that's one thing that I have found, that torment that, you know, you kind of feel like you're crazy and out of control and everything. It's because there's this, like, this communication. Like, God can't speak to you when you're like that, because you have your own voices and the voices of the enemy and other people in your head instead of him. And so I think that's huge. There's, yeah, like, you gotta fix this, too. You got to fix that communication line with God, too.
Yeah. And I think that you can get so practical, you start saying I or we, but the truth is it's Jesus. Everything he asked you to do, he's the power to get it done. So our connection, our oneness with God is our focus, not our outcomes. So I ask you this. So before, we're talking about before you started doing some of the things you're doing now, right? The process that we're in the middle of. How did forgiveness work in your life? Like, how did it work? How did it look? What was the process by which you forgave?
I think for me and my family, we did a lot of, like, screaming and yelling, and that's how we got stuff out. And so there wasn't really a process. I don't even think we actually really got to the, like, true feelings of it. So I was never really taught forgiveness. You just yelled it, you screamed it, then you go on your way, and you feel great until it comes back again. And so, I think that was... Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Now we're really different, probably on the complete other side of the boat from each other. Okay, so
that's
me.
That's why I'm his teacher.
This is why God put us together. It's that healthy tension. So for me, I am a people pleaser. I value primarily over anything relationships and keeping those relationships going. And so what I began to learn is to at times put my emotions at check. So when the offense comes into me, right, I experience an offense, something that hurts my feelings, what I learned to do is a lot of Christian principle of you know, being a forgiving person, being Christ-like. I use my ability to read people to try to make, honestly, a snap judgment to say, I'm trying to figure out why it is that you did to me what you just did to me. And once I know that, I could make an excuse for you, right? And then once I made an excuse for you, then I could release you. And so when I interacted with you, it seemed like there was no problem between us because I released you in that. However, I never counted the cost of what had happened. I never discounted the words that were said. I never was kind enough to me under the surface to realize that I was taking on all those offenses as an indicator of who I was. And so I wouldn't say boo. I lived with a wife for almost 18 years where it was like, I feel like you aren't mad at anyone, right? Like, you like everyone, nothing bothers you. But at the same time, what God began to reveal to me is like, he's like, Will, you are so unkind to yourself, you stuff that down. If someone yells an insulting word at you, you release them quickly and then you pay the price yourself. So that was the process. Here's the offense. Choose to forgive, right? I read that in the Bible. That's where they left off with the sermon. Choose to forgive because God forgave. I choose to forgive because God forgave. Release them to go on their merry way. But stuff it. So with your way, Brandy, what were the results of living in this incomplete view of forgiveness? Like, what did it feel like? I'm kind of machine gunning some questions at you. What was its effect on your heart, on the inside of you? How did it affect your relationships with others? How did it affect how you see yourself?
I think for me, well, as I got, older and got into church more and kind of out of my family life and everything, I was always told to forgive and forget, but everything just kept reoccurring over and over again. And I'm like, why is this not working? And so with it, there was so much bitterness in my life. I had so much anger in my life. The person, my mom, that I thought I forgave, every time she would come around, I could just feel this, just something building up inside. Even like 2 weeks before she would come, I'd feel sick to my stomach. And it was horrible. And I'm like, if I have forgiven and I love her, how come I keep feeling like this? And so I kind of went on this little journey or quest, to figure this out, because it was just like, I felt like people kept telling me the same thing. You just do it because it says so in the Bible, and you just do it, forgive and forget. But with that, it really affected, especially when my mom would come around and we go see her, I would start taking it out on my family. I would be angry at my kids. I would yell. I would take it out on him. I'd push myself away from him. And it was just these emotions like I couldn't even, I guess, describe. And it was, and it all stemmed from, I know now, it all stemmed from unforgiveness, but I didn't know. And then I thought there was something wrong with me. And, so my heart was not in a good place. It was in a really bad place. And I didn't have a lot of good, healthy relationships because of it, because I just kept pushing everybody away.
Yeah. So then I think another thing that I would say is you would say at times, because that was a tendency, was to be verbal and like just come out with how you were feeling, that it made you believe things about yourself, like you couldn't have these friendships.
Yeah.
You couldn't have these relationships, right?
I knew this wasn't me, the person that I had become. Like, I knew it wasn't me. When I was a kid, I was just a very happy kid, and I just loved everyone. And like, the longer I held on to this, I just became... I didn't understand, like, this is not me, and I started becoming angry even at myself for that, and then I went into depression for a while. Wanted to give up being a mom, wanted to give up being a wife, just all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it really totally affected everybody around me, myself included. Yeah.
And then coming into ministry, I know that was hard for you too, just to say, living like this, feeling this way, There's this pressure, like you got to be perfect to be the person up front. And this is still a struggle, you know, on her end with these things, and on my end, you know, a little different. So like living this way where you stuff, you can become kind of an angry person, and you can it's like impulsive behavior, right? You're so controlled all the time that all of a sudden it's an impulsive behavior because it's like this overflow. It's living 95% full at all point in times because you stuff that and there's no outlay for that. Living this way, it made people around me that were at a distance think, wow, what an easy guy to get along with. And then the people closest to me would say, but you don't see, like, I don't even see who he is. Like, you became so detached from your own feelings and emotions. And I know those tend to be kind of bad words, right? Like, because we should be willpower. But those matter. The feelings don't drive everything, but they do count. They do matter. The hurt matters. And I have not let that hurt matter in my life. So it made lots of really shallow relationships and very few deep relationships. It created in me a real insecurity towards self and self-hatred. It made me, in the most intimate type relationships, really timid when I approach my wife. And so you can see the fireworks in that with someone timid and someone who's been taught to yell it out, that dynamic, right? Yeah, so you get the point there. So, oh, there's a magic pill, right? This is over. It's not over. This is still going on. So if you see me being timid, know that this is the journey that I'm on. If you see Brandy struggling with any of these things, pray for us and know, right? No. So we share this with you because we want to invite you into that, okay? So that's how it was. That's how it was. Now, in areas, remember this. You don't forgive someone for their sake. Okay, don't forget that. You don't forgive someone for their sake. You do it for your sake so you can be free. And then you needing to forgive isn't an issue between you and the person that offended you. It's an issue between you and God. Also, the other thing, you ever notice how some people could be together in like three parts of their life and then two other parts of their life are a complete train wreck? It's because unforgiveness is handled in pieces. And in relationships, you don't just all of a sudden you get the badge saying, I'm a great forgiver. No, right?
Sure.
Like it's not a superpower, yeah. Right? There's not a toxic ooze that hits you and all of a sudden everyone's forgiven. No, it's work, it's a conscious choice, and it's done relationship by relationship. So you see someone in one area of their life, they have freedom and they're alive there. In another area of their life, still prison to unforgiveness. And I know it's exhausting to go through that. So some of us get ground in two areas and then quit for a while because we're so tired and there's more areas to be had. Freedom. So the next thing I want to talk to you about is what we've been taught about forgiveness. And before I do that, anything you want to add before we go to that? Okay. How do you describe the forgiveness process? Well, understand there's a lot, there's more than one way to skin this cat. But here's what I know. For me,
Can I point out, that does say process on there
process,
too.
Process, so, yes, yes.
So process.
Process, very good. So if you look at that, you know me, I use my hands too much. So right here, the offense comes in. Will just choosing to be a forgiver and a peacekeeper instead of peacemaker. I wanted conflict to go away. So conflict came. Mental exercise, release the offender. Take on the offense to ourselves. The offender is immediately released to forgiveness, and I don't forgive myself. Stuff, cope, compensate for the pain. It's why I'm heavy. It's why I'm insecure, right? I stuff. Now, what God is showing me, what Jesus is walking me through is, okay, Will, I need you to stop. I know that you've gotten good at overcoming your emotions and jumping right to your level two of thinking and understanding, but stop a second. Here's what he's teaching me. Will, here's what I want you to do. The offense comes in. Okay. Acknowledge the offense. Don't ignore it. Then feel the offense. No. Explain what's happening. This is what you've done. This is what's happened to me. and this is done between me and God. This is how it made me feel. This is how it changed the way I see myself because of what happened. This is what I've lost because of what's happened. In spite of all of that, then there's the choice, you see? But I choose to forgive this person, Lord. I choose to forgive myself for what I've
let. Which is probably the hardest one, forgiving yourself.
You know, I choose to release the unreal expectations I had about you, God, to always protect me from any conflict. This is not your problem that's happening here. And in spite of all that, I choose to pray blessings for this person who's hurt me. And this is how, and then it makes my life different going forward, you see. Then I'm released, God's released from my unrealistic expectation, and that person is released into forgiveness. And you see that extra step, it may not make like a lot of sense, but if I just implore you to forgive everyone, then you ignore or you make an excuse and you don't let the pain count. So you think it's done, but the pain's still there. You didn't deal with it. You stuffed it. How would you say how the forgiveness process looks different? Or does that kind of explain it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were telling me something about what's a sign to say, like, I think I've forgiven, but this is still happening, and so forgiveness may not have happened. You were saying a few things about that.
There's a lady named Sylvia Gunter. She does several books, but there's a book that we absolutely love. It's called Prayer Portions. And she was saying at the bottom, she has like a forgiveness thing that she has in her book. And at the bottom, it says, if you feel your blood pressure rising every time you speak that person's name, you probably haven't forgiven them.
Yeah.
Right. So, right. Or if you feel that sick feeling when they're going to come 2 weeks before they're coming to your house, you probably have not forgiven them, mm-hmm. You know? So just those little indicators that you had before, if you're still feeling that, you probably need to go back and actually do the process.
Yeah. No, thank you for that. So I want to talk to you, you know, before we kind of close up this talk, about tools to aid in the forgiveness process. And like I said, this is what we're using, this is what we're going through as individuals. And so we've printed up some copies of each one of these, and I just want to tell you what they are. And if that would be helpful, at the end of the service, come see me. And they're real self-guided, but I'd be happy to talk to you about it because I believe that's part of the responsibility that God's given me. And I feel like my responsibility is to not put off telling you about these things because I'm not doing so well at this. I feel like if I come before you honestly and tell you that this is still a process, that I actually need to do both of these. Maybe today. Right? But I want you, as always, I want us to do this together. I want us to get freedom together. And when we live life together, like any family, the person that you may need to do this with might be sitting next to you or across this room, you know? Right? And it's about you and God, not about them. So I want to equip you and give you those tools. Like, first of all, there's this one paper. Do you want to talk about that? This is a paper. It's called Forgiveness Prayers. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but when do you use this one?
First of all, both of these were given to us by somebody else that I feel like God has brought into our lives. And we asked if we were allowed to share these, and they said yeah. So.
Yeah.
But these are these are our go-to tools, Will and I. And there's probably like other totally amazing things out there. And if you guys have that, share with each other. Cause
yeah, share with us.
Share with us. We need more tools. did you want?
So this is called, the title on this, it says Forgiveness Prayers. And I don't know what you want to say about that, just to introduce it.
This was the first one that was introduced to me, and it really helped kind of like open up something for me, but the forgiveness process was the one that actually got me to the place where I can say my mom's name. You know, right now, I'm not like, so I'm good. Right. I can see her. I can talk to her. I don't feel like I want to kill her now. So,
right,
It's good. It's all good. There is freedom in it. Yeah. But this one's really good because there's four points that it has set out here, and it's forgiving others, receiving God's forgiveness, forgiving yourself, which was the hardest one. So many people that you walk through with this, they can't get through it. It takes them sometimes weeks to get through it because you get to this point saying, I even will begin to love and like myself. And they, you know, I couldn't do it for a long time too. It was really hard. And then you hand over this disappointment with God. And it's just like kind of redirecting, like, who really is the culprit in this. We blame God, and sometimes we don't even realize we're blaming God, but really it's, we need to, you know, we play a role in this. Satan plays a role in this. So this is kind of what this bottom one, the disappointment with God is.
And so you just said that you thought this was a nice place to start because it sort of opened those gates.
Yeah.
So you could begin to dig about which relationships you needed to focus on.
These are kind of like, it's like a quick little one that you need to do. This one is like a deep, it takes a while to do.
Yeah. And what about ongoing? How is that helpful?
This is good because sometimes, like you're saying, you know, you realize like, oh, I haven't forgiven, or I need to forgive in this part of my life.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, this anger's starting to come in, or this bitterness, and I have to stop and go like, whoa, where is that coming from? So this is really good to just do that quick one to just kind of look and see like, okay, where is this coming from? And then a lot of times a name will pop up, an offense will pop up or whatever. And so it's just a good quick.
Yeah, and what it is, it's kind of it's a guided prayer that you can use, and it walks you through on how to bring that out and then release it to God and forgive yourself. So yeah, that's great.
It doesn't say like, okay, God, now that I forgive, okay, help me forget.
So right.
It's like, it's more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and the other thing that this is deep work. And the title on this is Forgiveness Process. And what it involves is actually, it's a written exercise. It involves one, making a list of offenses. So it involves coming before God and saying, like I said, because you got to do it relationship by relationship. So being with God. And then there's even some scripture in here that you can use to kind of see King David in Psalms and see the ups and downs of his emotions, so you don't feel like you're the only one feeling this, and it helps you in the laments. So then it involves this, really practically writing a list. Okay, Brandy. I did this with Brandy. I know, hard
it's
to
like
believe.
This.
Did that with Brandy. Okay, here's the offenses. You did this, you did that, you made, you know, and then here's the feelings I had. There's two columns. One is the offenses. And you just write 5 pages, 6 pages, whatever it takes. It's raw.
10 pages.
You know, it's real raw. You write it out. And on this side, you begin to use to explain the feeling words, like, well, this made me feel this. And you list it. You get it out, right? You get it out, you make it matter. Okay? And then from that, you write a letter, a gut level letter.
You can cuss in it, too.
Yeah,
okay,
it
God
happens.
Knows
it
what
happens,
you're
right? It happens. I know. It's we did this in Michigan the first time, and so you know, dear, you write them a letter that you don't intend on giving them.
Don't give it to
them. Okay.
Do not give it to them.
So yeah. You write the letter. It's like, here's what happened. Just blah. It's out, right? And then this is how it made me feel. And this matter, you be real. You make it finish. Now I choose to forgive you for these offenses. And then forgiving yourself. And then now that I've forgiven you, my life will be different in these ways. And that I choose to bless you instead of curse you with my words. And then this letter is taken, and it's shared with someone that you trust. It's processed. And then it's burnt.
You want to, even if you don't do it with somebody else, you want to make sure that you, because maybe it's something that you just really feel you can't share with somebody. You got to speak it out, though. You got to get it out. You know, don't just write it. Like,
I have done that where I just kind of talk to Jesus about it. And then you burn it.
Tear it up and throw it in the water.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do, just get rid of it.
So that's the invitation. You know, what I What I would love for us to take out of this is not just to run past that Matthew 18, but to understand that, you know, we want God's forgiveness. And he's told us clearly, I'm going to forgive you, but I expect you to forgive the people around you for lesser things than I'm forgiving you for. And if you can't even do that, then I don't know what to do other than to turn you over, to be tormented until you're broken to the point where you will forgive. Right? It's like yesterday, the words, the language, the rack, they put you on the rack. Why? Not to kill you, not to destroy you, but to torture you to the point of submission. Whose life is that right now? I've been there. Like, really? This is a lot of pain. Well, yeah, it's because I'm trying to get you to break down, Will, and do what I've asked you to do and surrender. And so I thank you for your kindness. And I know from praying to God that we had to pause here. And maybe you're like, you know, whatever, Will, you're bad at forgiving and whatever, you stink, I don't care, you know. This is an act of obedience. But this is here. And I can't speak for anybody else, but there's a lot of us that have relationships with each other. And I know I could probably list 10 people that would love to talk to you about this, me being one of them. And so after we're done praying, we're singing praises to God, come grab one. You don't have to say anything to me if you want. Just grab one. If you have questions, call. Or ask somebody else. But at least open the hood to your life. At least please open the hood to your life, because until you do that, there's no freedom. And then we can walk out, you see, because now you've done this deep work, right? Because I know it's hard to believe, but Brandy had to do this forgiveness process with me a few times. And then probably today, I'll do something, right? I may do something again to hurt her feelings. And now she's better equipped and better, everything's cleaned out. And she can take it to God right away and be quick to forgive. But when you're storing up 10, 20 years of hurts that you were never allowed to face, it's so cruel to say, just forgive them. It's just cruel. So get to that point where you've done this work and in those relationships, then you can be quick to forgive. And you can be kind and merciful. Anything else? Yeah.
So when Will was talking about the torment and the torture, I think it does exist. And like sometimes you don't even know you're in the torment and the torture until you do this. And I'll just say, like, if you're saying words like you're hopeless or you have no joy, these are the things that the enemy wants to rob of you. This is the torture. But you do this, and I can say that there is, on, you know how people say like the grass isn't greener on the other side? With this, it totally is, because there's hope on the other side. There's joy on the other side. You feel different. The weight that's on your shoulders is gone. Like, you just feel lighter. There's, I remember when I first did this, I was like, what is this feeling? Like, I think I was pretty obnoxious to some people afterwards. It was the coolest feeling ever. Because for my mom, I've held on to unforgiveness for 30 years, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible, and it's just not there. It just doesn't affect me like it did before. So,
and I don't know. I think it's fair to say once you taste that, then it helps you push through in the other relationships. Because you got to keep going. As God reveals something new that needs to be released and processed, then you do that. Okay. Well, thank you for coming. Let's pray. And invite the praise team to come up. That's Brandon's. Okay. Lord, I just come before you, Lord, and I give to you this time. I give to you my trust and my faith, God, that you have a perfect plan. And the reality is this is uncomfortable to talk about. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to hear. But Lord, I long for true fellowship. I long for true discipleship. And I feel like so many of us go through our life And no one's telling us these things. And so we sit in our own power trying to forgive. We sit in our own power trying to reason and justify for the pains that we feel. And we don't want to do that. Truth is, I can only love because you love me. It's not even love I can come up with myself, but it's love that you give to me that I can give to others. And it's the grace that you give to me that I can share with others. It's the forgiveness that you've given me for a debt that I couldn't pay back in 300,000 years, God, if I had it. And all that, you forgive me, and not only that, you love us in spite of that. You favor us. You bless us. And I won't release my brother, my sister, my wife for a hurtful word said. I pray, Lord, that you would be so close that today as we walk out of here, tonight as we lay down, and tomorrow as we wake up, our focus would be oneness with you. That we would long to keep that level of communication, that line of communication open, that we would ask for forgiveness from you, that we would ask for forgiveness from others, and that we would forgive others, God, as you've forgiven us. But I know it's not that simple, so lift the hood on my life. Reveal to me where unforgiveness lives. Give me the strength and the courage and the love and the patience to go after it. Thank you, Jesus. So I pray that you would speak in a loud way to everyone here, that you would hold them close and that you would lead them out of jail into freedom through forgiveness. And if these tools can help, so be it. If not, God, send somebody, send something to help them on their way. You are the good shepherd. You're the one that leads us through the gate, through the forgiveness, to the pastures, to freedom where we can eat and live and be free and full. So we surrender our will and we follow you through that gate. In Jesus' name.